You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. An outfit called Heritage Auctions has just sold the original one-page scouting report on Derek Jeter, along with two carbon copies, should you need them. They went for $102,000. The author of that scouting report was then Yankee area scout Dick Grosch, who scouted and signed Jeter as the sixth overall pick in the June 1992 draft. Yankee fans owe him their eternal thanks. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers special assistant to the general manager in charge of player personnel and pro scouting, we welcome to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball, Dick Grosch. Dick, thank you so much for doing this. Did you know about your scouting report being put up for auction?
No, I was absolutely shocked because I was at a social gathering and someone was mentioning it to me, and I thought they were pulling my leg. I said, you know, what are you talking about? Well, we want to shake the hand of the man who sold $102,000 three pieces of paper. So I didn't know what they were talking about until the next day. I brought it up and saw that it had sold. And I said, my goodness, I'm in the wrong business. I should be writing. I should be writing reports and putting them out there for auction. Who wants to buy a report that's been written on somebody? But, you know, Ed, what's ironic about it, Ed, is that when you're back in high school, before you make that decision to go into college, they always do these tests, career tests, career advancement. What are you going to be, or what do you want to be on the basis of your grades and your interest things that you indicated? Mine always came out writer, sports writer, of all things. So I said, so I got, I guess, a little bit of what we have to do with writing these reports carried over and help me get some of the guys right.
You picked the right field, and there are millions of Yankee fans who will tell you that. So, really, I should not ask you what your cut was of the $102,000 since you didn't know.
Well, I was not the salesperson for that. I don't know who was the owner who put that up for sale. I have no idea. And I have no idea who bought that. But that was the only report that I had. Because our reports, as you mentioned, they came in three pieces of paper, three carbon, the white, a yellow, and a red, and that's a complete report. The only time that you would deviate from that is you're writing a report on a junior that's playing baseball, and he's a junior in high school or junior in college. You'd use a little different report. Now, the only report that I have left is the paint copy, a one-page report on Derek Jeter when he was a high school junior. And this was two games, 14 innings, and it was in his junior year. And this is in preparation for his observations in a senior year. But from material that's written and used to evaluate players, we kept very little of that. Kept Jeter's because I had written the prime report twice, and I kept this one because it was his junior year, and we try to keep two copies of every report on players that we think that are going to be made solid major league prospects. So you generally had it on about five or six players a year.
Not a whole lot of paperwork back then. The 1992 draft began with Phil Nevin, now the Yankees' new third base coach, for Aaron Boone's club in 2018. He was the first draft choice. Then he was followed by Paul Shuey to the Cleveland Indians. B.J. Wallace followed him. Jeffrey Hammonds followed him. Chad Mottola followed him. Did you and the organization think Derek Jeter would last till the sixth pick?
That's a tough call. I would say no. I was a little concerned about Cincinnati because they did have a part-time scout that lived in that area, so he had the opportunity to see Derek Jeter and get to know the family and the coaches and the high school because he lived right there. And I know that Cincinnati really liked him. They were surprised when Chad Mottola was drafted. So That was a little bit of a concern. We weren't too concerned with Houston because they pretty much indicated that they thought that they had to have a college player or someone that's close to the big leagues. And I guess I would have been surprised. I was surprised with Paul Shuey because it's a little tough to take a relief pitcher. Shuey would have been a relief pitcher, and that's a tough pick at the first round. And B.J. Wallace never did put in much together during his career, so he was down on our list. We did talk about Jeffrey Hammonds a little bit. Hammonds, I guess, got to the point we found he's going to be a little too expensive, so you know, he dropped down. So eventually there was trying to remember the name of the pitcher, right-handed pitcher Kansas City took. That would have been our pick.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of our scouts, Joe DiCarlo, was actually sitting in his driveway, and he was listening to the draft from New York from the stadium. And they told him that if Jeter is taken, go into the house and see, sit with this young man that Kansas City took, and see what he wants to do. And for the life of me, I can't remember his name.
Hal Newhouser, the Hall of Fame pitcher with the Detroit Tigers, was scouting for the Houston Astros at the time. And the story goes, Dick, that he was so upset that Houston passed on Jeter that he quit his job.
Well, that's true to a point because he announced that he was going to retire that year anyway. So it was a good time to, I guess, have your retirement in place and have it being justified by the fact that that's a good time to get out when they don't take your player.
Well, tell us about the first time you heard about Derek Jeter.
Well, the first time is a visit to I was on my way to the west side of the state of Michigan for a senior tournament, and I was told that they had a trial camp. High school coaches were running a tryout type thing over in Mount Morris, Michigan, which is halfway to where I had to get. So I decided I would probably stop over at Mount Morris and spend a couple hours there to see what was going on. And I knew Jeter, I knew the name, but I didn't see him, and I didn't know who he was, but I saw a shortstop taking ground balls and looked like he belonged definitely in the big leagues as far as the defense was concerned. And then they had some running drills, and his running time, the first base, was above average. I can remember they were 4.0 and 4.3 from the right side is average. He did establish himself on that day as being a well-advanced runner and a potentially well-advanced defender. The only thing at the time was, is he going to hit? Because his body was thin and loose, athletic. But there wasn't a lot of power there. And the other thing I felt that he would hit, because he was a high-hand hitter, had excellent high-hand coordination. And it was like discovering gold. I mean, it just you see it, and believe me, it happens. It happens to guys like myself and guys that have been in the business. It takes your breath away. Mm. You get so excited. You say, you don't see this. Been in baseball for over 50 years, and very seldom do you get that kind of reaction to saying, wow, this is special. This is special. Be careful now. Don't get carried away. Be sure that you put it together and use common sense, and don't be too much of a knee-jerk reaction. So I did see him the junior year three or four more times during the course of the summer, and then, of course, had an opportunity to follow him during his senior year. And he made a lot of progression. The only thing that happened in his senior year was he did have an ankle injury that held him back for about 10 days. And up in the Michigan weather, he probably held him back more than he would if he was playing down in the warm weather climate. So he lost a little time that senior year, but I thought I had him pretty much pegged as to what he was going to be.
He was one of those rare players who, for you, your eyes didn't come off of him.
When you write a report up as a junior, like I say, I have a junior report, you're careful. because you knew that his stroke was a little long. He had a little bit of a long stroke, a little bit of a wrap. Because of his body type, you didn't know if he was going to for sure hit. Power was going to be a question. You know, you knew what development that was going to come. But what you do with that first report is you write it in such a way so that you see the next report, you can upgrade them. You don't want to go in after a junior year, write a positive report, which I did as a junior, and then have him go in senior year and then have to write one and lower his score by 10 points. So you want to be sure that you're keeping him on an upward path and be sure everything falls into place before you put it all together and pull the trigger.
Dick Grosch is with us, presently the Milwaukee Brewers special assistant to the general manager in charge of player personnel and pro scouting. He was the scout, as an area scout, who signed Derek Jeter, and his report has just sold at auction for $102,000 on Derek Jeter. Give us your feelings the day of the draft.
Well, the day of the draft is... It's very exciting. I mean, you're nervous, and you're nervous in a good way. You're nervous in the fact that, well, I hope that you want your player taken, and you believe strongly in that player, and then you really belong in that zone of trying to just bear down with every pick and hoping it's your pick. And with each pick, we got eventually to the when I heard Chad Mottola. Cincinnati, I know we had Jeter. I was hoopla-ing at home. I wasn't at the meeting, but I was hoopla-ing at home, and my wife says, they haven't even made a pitch yet. I said, I know, they're going to make a pick. They're going to take him. And, you know, then I heard that he was the pick. I felt that, like I said, we struck oil. I mean, we have got something special. You know, this guy is going to be something special.
And he was so definitive, Dick, in that he wanted to play shortstop for the New York Yankees since he was a little kid.
That's part of it that made it easy, because you're always concerned about signability with high school players. And they're so unpredictable. You put the pen in their hand, which I've done a number of times, and they can't sign the contract. So with a high school player, you're very, very concerned with that. But, yes, you're correct. He made that statement that his goal was to be a shortstop with the New York Yankees. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted every opportunity to do it. And that happened. And he was a Yankee. And we were in a position that we were able to make him a Yankee between Derek, myself, Brian Sabian, Bill Lindsay, and his parents. It all got done on the... And the day in July, and actually Kalamazoo, Michigan, he signed right at his home.
But before he was a Yankee, he thought he was going to be a Michigan Wolverine, and the Yankees needed to buy out his scholarship to Michigan.
Yes, we did that. We were willing to do that. One of the concerns that we had, though, is that he had a girlfriend in Kalamazoo, and this girl was going to also attend the University of Michigan. And that was a little bit of a concern, what's going to happen now? And, they asked me, I said, are you sure that he's not going to go to Michigan? I said, the only place that he's going is Cooperstown.
I love that.
And we got a little help on that, because Bill Freehan, the former Tiger catcher,
right,
was the head baseball coach at the University of Michigan. And he sort of gave us a little help, because he told Derek, he says, you got to go. You got to go now. It's one of the top. It's a top team in all of baseball, and you've been picked six. So what are you going to do, sit for 3 years and hope to go higher than six? He says, that's not going to happen. So Bill had a little help with that, and Derek did have an opportunity to attend a few classes at the University of Michigan in the off season.
There were concerns, though, about Jeter's legs being maybe a little bit too long to play shortstop, that he should play center field instead.
That was correct, because at Greensboro he had a rough year, I guess. He made 50-plus errors, and everybody was concerned about that. And they said his legs were too long, that he had trouble getting his glove down to the ball because he's got such a long lift loose body that and had a lot of traffic with the glove to the ball. But he overcame that. I don't think that was a problem. I don't think from day one I had any doubt about his defensive ability or his running ability. I mean, those were solidified. And those were things that you have to play through. It's a difficult position. It's a high school kid. And those are things that you know he had the wherewithal to be able to get through it. That's part of the projection, because the most important part of the draft process is being able to project on the player.
Right.
What you see today, what are you going to see tomorrow, what am I going to see 3 years from now? And 5 years from now, am I or am I not going to be working for the Yankees? So you would most certainly hope that he makes that transition from the day you saw him to the big leagues and make it successfully.
On the other side of the ball, was there concern on whether his inside-out swing could handle major league pitching?
Well, yes. From a standpoint, in a report on his junior year, I said he's got a chance to hit because he's got eye-hand coordination, and he's an eye-hand hitter. Those are very difficult to evaluate. That's George Brett. That's Pete Rose. These guys are eye-hand hitters, but you waited long enough, you saw what you needed to see. And the typical Jeter, even at a young age, he gets that high fastball over the center of the plate. He hits it into the upper deck in the left field. They try to jam him with two strikes. He goes inside out and hits a flare double over the first baseman's head. And I had to finally ask him, because that was, I asked Derek, when you go to right field, is that your choice or the pitcher's choice? The pitcher making you do that or you're doing that? He says, no, that's my adjustment. I have the ability to make an adjustment. My dad has worked with me with my hitting. He wants me to make sure I go the other way. Well, that's perfect for Yankee Stadium. You've got two places where you want the ball hit, down the left field line and into right center. There are two spots that both balls will carry. And that's a good spot for a guy like Derek Jeter, because those are two areas that he dominated with his swing.
He was, as a player, blessed with a durable body, matinee idol looks, but I'm sure one of the other things that attracted you to him so much, Dick, was his lunch bucket mentality.
It's almost very, very difficult to describe. It was just a matter of gravitation. He was like a magnet. The kids on the team, his players, fellow teammates, looked up to him. They wanted to emulate him. They looked at him. If anything was going to happen, if we're behind by three runs, everybody was looking to Derek. Derek was going to do it. And the work ethic, the ability to maintain composure for high school player in big games and big situations, maintaining composure, striking out, maintaining composure, even though he didn't do that very often. But you could see, even with an error, it was an error, and you could see that he wanted to make it up to his players, with his teammates, and he made it up with another great play or a double off the wall. But he's got that mentality that I'll get it back for you guys. Don't worry that I'm there. I'm there for you. So those are the types of, and you've got to project the big thing. He's doing it at Central High School in Kalamazoo. He's got to replicate this in the toughest venue in all of the sports, Yankee Stadium. And I had absolutely no doubt that he could fit right into that situation and be successful.
In our remaining moments with Dick Grosch, how ironic it is, Dick, that you also signed Casey Close as a minor leaguer who became Derek's agent and remains his agent to this day.
Yes, and I think Casey makes more money than Derek. I was talking with him about that. I said one guy made it to the big leagues, the other guy didn't, but he makes more than you. So, yeah, Casey and I talked several times during the course of the year, and had a chance to visit and spend some time when the captain's number was retired at Yankee Stadium this fall.
You told the New York Times, quote, I've gone to Yankees games and I've asked kids outside the park, who are you going to go see? And 7 out of 10 say Derek Jeter. Thanks to you.
Right. Exactly. I was going to ask him, are you going to see who's playing today? He said, they would say the Yankees. And I said, well, who are you going to see? we're going to see Derek Jeter. They weren't going to see the Yankees. They didn't even know who the other team was playing, who the Yankees were playing, but they wanted to see Derek Jeter. And that's how much of a – that's how charismatic he was, how much people gravitated to him, you know, from a small age to middle-aged people to the senior citizens. You couldn't help but gravitate to him.
You had such a great line. You said his jump throws from the shortstop hole weren't dying of malnutrition, and you hit it on the head when you said the only place he's going to is Cooperstown.
Well, I guess, boy, if I'm not right on that one, I'll be surprised.
Dick Groesch is currently the Milwaukee Brewers special assistant to the general manager in charge of player personnel and pro scouting. He was the Yankees area scout who signed Derek Jeter, and an outfit called Heritage Auctions has just sold Dick Groesch's original one-page scouting report on Derek Jeter for $102,000. Dick, thank you so much for being with me. So that'll do it for Dick Groesch and myself on MLB.com. If you were on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.